probably some of us have not heard of Rav David Cohen. Rav David Cohen Shlita is a very, very big posek. He's the, kind of like the go-to person, one of the go-to people in America. If you have a shaila that your local Rav doesn't want to deal with, he would probably say, I don't know, call Rav David Cohen. Rav David Cohen spends hours answering people's very, very complicated shaylas. I've had the schus on a couple of occasions to interact indirectly with him. He's a very colorful person. A Talmud of Rav Huttner Zatzal, Rav Yitzchak Huttner Zatzal. And when I saw yesterday that he was in the hospital, I don't know in what capacity, but I saw they were looking for people to say Tehillim. So I said to myself, you know what? Let's learn from Rav David Cohen Svarim. He has beautiful Svarim. He's a tremendous posek, but he's an author in all areas of Torah. So there's a couple of volumes that I have here at home called Birchas Yaivetz, Al Zmanim Umoadim, where he has beautiful Torahs for the Yom Tovim. So in the second volume of Birchas Yaivetz, there's a piece he has on Parsha Zachar, which I think is very, very, very nogea to us, to the human experience in general. And I think it's very deeply connected to Purim, obviously, in a way that he doesn't emphasize. I'll try to get to that at the end. But the piece is called Korach V'Haman. Okay, the name of the sefer is Birchas Yaivetz. Again, it came out in this volume came out in 1997. But Rav David Cohen Shlita, should have Refuah Shlema. David Ben Esther Malka should have Refuah Shlema. You know, we need our big gedolim. We need the people who are bigger than ourselves to help us to live our lives in a proper way. So you should have Refuah Shlema, and his chus, we'll learn his Torah, we'll learn his sefer. Okay, but the piece is called Korach V'Haman. Korach and Haman. Whoever thought about Korach and Haman? So let's see. Bereish Parshas Korach, Kosov Rashi, Sha'kosov lo hizkir ben Yaakov. When the Torah lists the lineage of Korach, now we know Korach, unfortunately, tragically, in a very deep way, and it's a sugya that's not simple. We shouldn't be so quick to think, you know, Korach was simply a petty person, a troublemaker. Korach was a big Talmud Chacham. Korach was a Zakein b'Yisrael, one of the elders of Israel. And the parasha begins, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar. Korach was the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahas, the son of Levi. Nu, who's Levi the son of? The son of Yaakov. So Rashi says, why doesn't it say ben Yaakov? That the Pasuk didn't mention ben Yaakov. Shebikesh rachim ma'atzmo. Because Yaakov Avinu, when he saw in the future there's going to be a Korach, he said, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I have no shaychus to Korach. So Yaakov davened that I should be excluded from the machlokas of Korach. Shelo yizkar shemo al machloksam. I don't want that my name, my good, pure name, Yaakov Avinu, the Ish Emes, Yaakov Avinu, the Ish Tam. Yaakov says, I don't want to have anything to do with the machlokas of Korach. Keep me out of it. And that's why when Yaakov Avinu gives his bracha at the end of Parshas Vayechi to Shimon and Levi, right, the pasuk says "Bisodam al tavon afshi," to their sodam, to their secret plans, their conspiracy. I don't want to be involved. "Bikahalam al techad kavodi." I don't want that I should be joined in with their congregation. I don't want to be part of that kahal. So who is Yaakov? What was Yaakov talking about when he gave a bracha to Levi at the end of Parshas Vayechi? What's he talking about? So Rashi and Korach says that Yaakov Avinu was davening, I don't want to be a part of that kahal. That's not my chevra. It's not my tzibur. I don't want to be involved in the future. Levi's going to have a son, and his son's going to have a son, and his son's going to have a son, whose name is Korach, and I don't want to be involved in that. Take my name out of it. When it lists the name of Korach, Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi, but don't say Ben Yaakov. I don't want to be a part of that. Okay, interesting. So apparently, Yaakov Avinu somehow saw himself as really the opposite of Korach. We need to understand why he was so concerned with that. I mean, it doesn't say Ben Yaakov, it doesn't say Ben Yitzhar, it doesn't say Ben Avraham. You know, you can go all the way back. Maybe it just didn't mention Yaakov. Nope. Say Chazal. No, Yaakov specifically asked not to be associated with Korach. And the question is why. And what does it have to do with Purim? What does it have to do with this Shabbos, Parsha Zachar? How does it have anything to do with our fight against Amalek? So says Rav David Cohen, V'hine matzinu midrashim shonim shehishru Korach lahaman. Wow. We find in our midrashim comparisons made between Korach and Haman. You heard this before? Avi, you ever heard such an idea that Korach and Haman have a connection to each other? Leo, you've heard such an idea. Jack, you heard such a thing before? Korach and Haman? What's the connection between Korach and Haman? But the Midrashim draw a link between Korach and Haman. We need to understand it. For example, it says in the Midrash in Bereishis Rabbah that there were four people who began a statement with the phrase, with the word, af. There were four people who engaged with the term af. Right? Af. V'nevdu ba'af. And then they were destroyed by af. They started up with af, and it was their downfall. Where do we find it? Who are the four? Nachash, the Nachash in Gan Eden. When the Nachash is in Gan Eden, he says to Chava, af ki amar Elokim, even though Hashem said don't eat from the tree, well, yeah, af, even though Hashem said that, you don't have to listen to God. So the Nachash started up with the word af. The Sar HaOfim, when the Sar HaOfim turns to Yosef and says, can you interpret my dreams also? He says, af ani b'chalomi, I also had a dream. Just like my friend, the butler, I also had a dream. Va'adas Korach, Korach used the word af, and Haman in the Megillah also used the word af. Something connecting the Nachash to the Sar HaOfim, to Korach and Haman. The Kli Yakar of Ephraim Lunchitz. The Kli Yakar wrote in one of his Svarim that the common denominator between the Nachash and the Sar HaOfim and Korach and Haman is actually the Rashi Tevos of their name, which is kina, jealousy. Korach is a kuf, Nachash, the ofe, right? The Sar Ofim, he's defined by being a baker, he's an ofe, he's a baker. And Haman is Rashi Tevos kina, jealousy. The Nachash says to Adam and Chava, you know, why should you allow God to be God? You should also become God. He aroused their jealousy, right? Haman, obviously, we'll see, has major issues with regard to Mordechai. He feels very threatened by Mordechai. He's envious of Mordechai. Right? The Sar HaOfe, when he sees what Yosef is doing with his friend, I also had a dream. Right? Afani b'chalomi. Korach. Korach also wants some of the power that was given to Moshe and Aaron. So kina, jealousy. Chaver, jealousy. Jealousy is somehow the key to our sugya. And we'll have to see what jealousy means. Let me just mention it now because I'm scared I'm going to forget at the end. We know that there are Aseres HaDibros, and there are the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Which means that if we were to line up the Aseres HaDibros with the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the 10th of the Aseres HaDibros corresponds to what? Corresponds to Yom Kippur. Right? Yom Kippur is the 10th day. We start on Rosh Hashanah, the 10th of the 10 commandments. What's number 10? What's number 10?
Don't be jealous.
Don't be jealous. You can give me the Parshas Yisro version or the Parshas Ve'eschanan version. Right? Little differences, but don't be jealous. Interesting. So Yom Kippur somehow is connected to what? To Lo Sachmor. Lo Sis Aved. Don't be jealous. Don't desire that which your friend has. Why is that connected to Yom Kippur? Why do you think that's Yom Kippur? If it's true that the Ten Commandments correspond to the 10 days of repentance, Aseres Yimei Tshuva and Aseres HaDibros. So why is Yom Kippur? How does Yom Kippur correspond to Lo Sachmor? Yom Kippur, there's a lot to say about that. Yom Kippur is a very personal day, a very individualized day. Right? Yom Kippur is the day where I turn inward in maybe the most real way, and I'm not worried about what my friend has or what this one has, that one has. It's about me and Hashem being straight with each other. It's a lot. It's not for now. If it was Yom Kippur Shir, I'd go into it. Right? But we know from the Tikkuni Zohar that Purim is even greater than Yom Kippurim. Right? That Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim. It's a day like Purim. That means Yom Kippur wishes, on a certain level, that it could be on the Madrega of Purim. So that means if Yom Kippur is a day where we conquer jealousy, where we're able to be very, very true to ourselves, so Purim even more so. So keep that in mind as we go through this piece. Keep that in mind as we start to explore how Korach and Haman and the Nachash and Gan Eden and the Sar HaOfim are all somehow rooted in some type of common ground. And one way to explain it, again, as the author of the Kli Yakar explains, kina. Korach, Nachash, Ofe, Haman is Rashi Tevos kina. The jealousy. Af. Right? The word, each one of them began a drasha with the word af. It's interesting, I'll just point out, that how did Hashem begin his drasha at Har Sinai? How did Hashem begin his drasha? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? I am Hashem, your God. Hashem began with the word Anochi. And these four individuals, who in many ways, each in their own way, caused the Chorban, right, began with the word Af. So it's just interesting to note that the gematria of the word Af is the gematria of the word Anochi, 81. Meaning, in other words, Hashem began his Rosh saying, I am Hashem, your God. Right? I am the ultimate I. I'm in a class of my own. And everyone looks at Hashem and says, of course, you're in a class of your own. I can't be God. But each one of these individuals, the Nachash, the Sara'ofim, Korach, Haman, each one of them wanted to go into a place that was beyond them, that was not shayach to them. They each wanted to emphasize that I, that sense of self. Kina, right? Why does he get this honor, or he get, you know, why does he deserve this financial success? I deserve the financial success. So Hashem responds, in a certain sense, to the Af, which is really the opening negative word of the drasha of the Nachash. Hashem responds at Har Sinai Anochi. Same gematria as the word Af. Again, more to say on that, but not for now. Okay, so let's see. The Medrash Rabbah tells us in the next paragraph. Umos ha'olam b'shashen yoshin b'shalom ochlin v'shosin mishtakrin u'misaskrin b'divrei tiflus mahin omrim. When the nations of the world get together and throw parties, and they eat, and they drink, and they become intoxicated, and they start talking about all sorts of tiflus, not tefilos, tiflus, foolish things. So what do they say? They do what people do sometimes, you know, that sometimes when people are in a low place, they don't talk about ideas, they don't even talk about things, they talk about other people, right? Oh, you know how much money this guy's making? Oh, you heard what's going on with him and his wife? Oh, you know what's happening with this one's kid? Right? Oh, you heard what happened to this guy? Oh, he's struggling with this, he's struggling with that. You talk about other people, and you start, you know, sizing up to other people. So when the Umas HaOlam get together, says the Medrash, and they make their parties, so they start saying, oh yeah, well I think Jordan's better than LeBron. Oh yeah, I think LeBron's better than Jordan. Okay. So the Medrash's version of that is Mi Chacham Ka Bilam, right? Bilam was the greatest, he was the wisest. And then someone else said, no, Bilam, you know, they would debate it. Umi Ashir Ka Haman, right? And who was richer than Haman? And who was stronger than Goliath, who fought against David? And afterwards, the Jews show up at the party, or whatever, they meet these non-Jews on their way out of their party on the street, and they say back to them, they're like, oh yeah, we've got the best guys on our team. We've got Bilam, we've got Haman, we've got Goliath. So Bnei Yisrael show up, and we say, hold on a second. We have Achitofel. Achitofel is very smart. We have Korach. Korach was very rich. We have Shimshon. Shimshon was very strong. So you don't have a monopoly on the smart, rich, and strong people. V'chein ayin b'medrash rabbah b'midbar. And similarly, the Medrash Rabbah on B'midbar says that when Yirmiyahu, in the ninth parak of Yirmiyahu, says, is the point of life being strong, or wise, or rich? Ko amar Hashem, al yishal el chacham b'chachmaso. Don't be so proud of your wisdom. Don't be proud of your wealth, the pasuk goes on. Don't be proud of your strength. Shanuch Rabboseinu, and our rabbis taught, they say in that medrash, on that pasuk, commenting on that pasuk, Shnei Chachamim Amdu, there are two wise people who rose in the world, Echad Miyisrael ve'Echad Me'Ovdei Chachavim. Achitofel from the Jews, Bilam from the nations of the world. There were two strong people, Shimshon from the Jews, Goliath, the giant who fought against David, from the Umas HaOlam. V'chein Shnei Ashirim Ba'Olam, there were two rich people in the world, one from the Jews, one from the Umas HaOlam. And who is it? Korach Me Yisrael, the Haman Me Umas HaOlam. Fascinating. So we've seen now three occasions of a relationship between Korach and Haman. We've seen that Korach and Haman are on the list of the four people who started to say something nasty with the word Af. We see two midrashim, a medrash in Vayikra Rabbah and a medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, where we contrast Korach as the rich Jew versus Haman, the rich person from the Umas HaOlam. And again, we need to understand what exactly is this relationship and how each one was ruined by their wealth, right? V'shneyam nevdu min ha'olam. They were both destroyed. Lama? Shalo haya matanosan min ha'kadosh baruch hu. They lost what they had because they tried to take things that weren't theirs. It wasn't gifted to them by Hashem. Elechoit v'nosalahem. They helped themselves to whatever they wanted. They took things that didn't belong to them. And because of that, they were ruined. So friends, before we go deeper into Korach and Haman, let's also loop in the Nachash. Because really the Nachash is our first enemy of all time. And the Nachash is on that list of the four who said, what? Who spoke with the word Af. The Nachash, right? Korach, Haman, and the Sar Ofim. So let's go to the Nachash for a second. And let's learn a famous Yesod about the Nachash. Because the Gemara in Maseches Chulin asks a very puzzling question that, again, I'm sure some of us are familiar with. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin asks the following question. Haman min HaTorah minayin. Where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? Now, you start to wonder, Max, why is Haman in the Torah? What do you mean? I need Haman in the Torah? I have Haman in the Megillah. I don't need a hint. The Gemara wants to know, where is Esther hinted to in the Torah? Where is Mordechai hinted to in the Torah? Where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? Maybe the strangest question of all, where is Moshe Rabbeinu hinted to in the Torah? Or hinted to in the Torah? Moshe is on every page of the Torah. But where is Haman hinted to in the Torah? And the Gemara answers, in Gan Eden. Because when Adam and Chava are all alone in Gan Eden after eating from the tree, Hashem says to them, Hamin ha'etz, from the tree that I told you not to eat. Is it possible you ate from that tree? So says the Gemara, Hamin is the same letters as Haman. Hamin ha'etz, right? Hamin ha'etz, from the tree that I commanded you not to eat, did you eat? So Haman is Hamin. So Haman is hinted to in Gan Eden, right after the Chet Eitz Hadas. Well, what's going on? What's going on? What's the secret of this Gemara? V'yadua shahaman ha'amaleki shorsho minachash hakadmoni. In many ways, Amalek and Haman is rooted in what? Is rooted in the Nachash HaKadmoni. If Amalek represents all that is evil, well, our first encounter with evil, right, with evil incarnate is the Nachash. We think of the Nachash as the Yetzirah. We think of Amalek as the Yetzirah. So Haman, who's sort of the greatest, you know, the greatest example of what how evil Amalek can be, is rooted in the Nachash. Finds his roots, finds his spiritual origins in the Nachash HaKadmoni. The Sefer Kabbalah even say that Haman is Rashi Tevos, Hey Mem Nun, stands for Hu Meshoresh Nachash, that he comes from the root of the snake. Or, another way to say it, again, based on Sefer Chassidus, the Svarim say, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, I wrote it down here at the bottom, Meshoresh Nachash Yetze Tsefa. From the root of the snake comes a viper. From the root of the snake comes an even more dangerous snake, a specific snake that's going to be so dangerous. And the Svarim HaKadoshim say, from the root of the snake comes the most dangerous, most poisonous, destructive force, and that's called a Malik. And if I had to pick someone who's the ultimate evil of them, it's Haman. So Haman is rooted, Haman min HaTorah minayin. Where do you find Haman? You find in the deception of the Nachash and Gan Eden. However, Amnam, Hahashva hi b'masha af al pi, Shakol karu lahaman, mikol makom hayara be'enav, shemordechai eno korea mishtachav elo. What's the common denominator between the Nachash and Haman? What's Haman's problem? Haman's problem is that what? That even though everyone bows down to him, the fact that Mordechai won't bow down to him makes him crazy. V'chein etzal Adam HaRishon. And that's exactly what happened with Adam and Gan Eden. As Rav Aaron Cutler explains, as other tzaddikim explain, that the chay, why is Haman hinted to in Gan Eden, besides simply the simple equation, the Nachash is evil and Haman is evil, and the Gematrias and the Ramazim I just told you, why is Haman rooted in Gan Eden? Because Haman couldn't accept that there was one thing he couldn't have, and that was Mordechai. Couldn't get Mordechai to bow down to him. In Gan Eden, the Adam and Chav were going through the exact same experience. They had access to everything. There was one tree they weren't allowed to eat from, and yet they weren't satisfied. That is such chavar. One of the reasons we're learning this piece is because this is such a real struggle for people. It's such a real midah of not being appreciative of what you have and always seeing, yeah, but I don't have like this and I don't have like that. This one got the shidduch, this one got the job, this one's family has more money, you know, this one has a better relationship with his parents, etc., etc., etc. There's all sorts of things we can look at and feel frustrated by. But that's such a maleki outlook. That's what the Nachash tries to convince you in Gan Eden. It's true, you have it amazing here. You're in Gan Eden, but, you know, you could maybe have more. That's such a terrible attitude, such a midara. So that's what Haman was. Haman was exactly like that. Haman had 99% of anything that a person of power could desire, and yet there's one Mordechai, he can't let it go. Adam and Chav and Gan Eden have the whole garden, but there's one tree, and they won't let it go. And the same thing is true for Korach. Again, who was the Medrash's example of a rich Jew? Right? Who did it pick? It picked Korach as an example, as the richest of Jews. And yet, what do we see with Korach? Korach is still unsatisfied. He's complaining. He wants more. V'zeh inyano shel Korach, shaya asher hachi muflag. He was the greatest, wealthiest person in the world. V'gam hayo lo srara. And he had authority. He had power. He had chashivus. He was well-respected and well-liked. And yet Korach decided, what? I want more. As the Medrash says, Laman sur mishol mata. Be careful as you travel through life so that you don't what end up descending to the depths of hell. Literally, the ground split open before Korach. Ze Korach va'adaso shenasati lahem srara, says the Medrash. Hashem says to Korach, I gave you and your chevra tremendous authority, srara, power, uvikshu lachmon mashalo haya shalahem. And yet you wanted more. You wanted something which wasn't yours. And if you try to move up in the rankings, when it's not yours, Hashem will literally cause the floor to open up beneath your feet. And Korach falls mamish to the depths. Mamish to Sheol Tachtis. So Korach and Haman, unfortunately, shared this Midara. And it's rooted in Gan Eden. It's rooted in the Midara of the Nachash. To want something that's not yours. To convince yourself that you need something when it's not yours. It's not meant to be yours. Okay? So let's go further, friends. And this, by the way, this is the Avodah this week. We got to work on this. The Jew has to be able to... This is how we come to the Simcha and the Achdus of Purim. Why do we have to defeat a Malek, right, on our way to Purim? Because Purim, we're trying to bring Klal Yisrael together. We're trying to... Simcha means that I'm so happy. Wow, you got a good job? You got a good shidduch? Wow, you had a good experience? I'm so happy for you. I'm really happy that worked out for you. As opposed to thinking in the back of my mind, well, yeah, he doesn't deserve it. Why didn't I get that? Why does it always work out for him? Why not me? That's such a midah ra. So we come to the Achdus and the Simcha of Purim by getting rid of this midah of Amalek, this midah of Haman, this midah of the Nachash, which sometimes what even creeps into our life in the form of a Korach, which literally had to be swallowed up by the earth, sent to the depths of hell. Because if you try to move up in a way that's not appropriate for you, Hashem will knock you down. So with this we can begin to understand what it says in Rashi. What does it say? We're going to read this Shabbos. We're going to read again Parsha Zachar. And we're going to read the words of remember what Amalek did to you. But however, what does it say at the end of Parsha's Kiseitse, right before that? You know what it says right before that? What does the Torah tell you to be careful about right before it ends off Parsha's Kiseitse, which is filled with many, many mitzvos, right? Right before we remind ourselves to defeat Amalek. You know what it says? It says you should be very honest in your business dealings. I'll read it to you in English. Psukim at the end of Kiseitse, right before Zachor Eis Asher Asalucha Amalek. You know what's right before that? The parsha right before that. You shall not have in a pouch a weight, a large one and a small one. Right? Don't have different prices for different people. You shall not have in your house a measure and a measure, a large one and a small one. Rather, a perfect and honest weight shall you have. A perfect and honest measure you shall have, so that your days shall be lengthened on the land that Hashem your God has given you. For an abomination of Hashem are those who act corruptly. Be honest in your business dealings. Don't find a way to squeeze out a few more bucks. And what's right after that? Remember what Amalek did to you. So says Rashi, what's the smichas aparshios? Ma'akesher. What's the shaychas? What does honest weights and measures have to do with defeating Amalek? So Rashi says, Rashi explains, She'im shikarta b'midos uv'meshkalos, if you are dishonest, shikarta, if you're a shakran, if you're a liar, if you're dishonest in your weights and measures, have a doig migeiroi ha'oyev, then you should be nervous about the attacks of the enemy. In other words, if you're a dishonest person, Amalek's right around the corner. U'mishum hachi nismacha parshas mishkalos, l'zechiras mechias Amalek. Interesting. And therefore, says Rashi, having honest business practices is right next to Amalek. Because if you're dishonest, if you're always trying to find the deceptive way to make another dollar, so then Amalek, that's the world of Amalek. Sharei ha-mocher marviach. Think about it. Why specifically weights and measures? Right? What's the Torah telling you? Don't use a small, you know, a small weight or a big weight to tip the scales in your favor. Don't play around with your scales. Why is this a malik? It's honesty. It's MS. Right? We'll come back to Yaakov Avinu and his relationship to Korach or lack thereof. But why is this the yesod that we're saying? So explains to David Cohen. You know why? Because this guy, he has customers. He's doing business. Baruch Hashem, he should say, wow, so thank you Hashem for sending me a business deal. No, this guy is busy playing games with his weights and measures. Instead of appreciating what Hashem gave him. Sharei ha-mocher marviach. The seller is what? Is marviach. He's successful. He's making money. U'mikol makom tzar lo she'eino lokeach ma she'shayach lechaveiro. But he still wants a little more of what his friend has. And he's pained by the fact that he doesn't have what someone else has. So he's trying to play games with his business to try to catch up so that he can be the biggest business in town, because he's only the second biggest business in town. Friends, you know what that midah is called in one word? A malik. That midah is called a malik. V'akol lefi mashenis bar v'makom acher. And with this we can understand what we've explained elsewhere, really based on the Mesilas Yesharim and the writings of Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. She'al yedei hatalas hazuama. That when the Nachash poisoned, Zuama means filth, when the Nachash planted this filthy idea on our mind, Nishava ba'adam taivas gezel va'arayos, the Nachash caused us to what? To be jealous, to want, to desire things that aren't yours. Specifically, the Nachash had his eye on Chava, like Rashi says, arayos. He wanted them to steal from the tree, gezel. Gezel and arayos. Things which the Gemara says, shenafsho chumadtam. Things that it's human to desire. We should want money. A person who doesn't want to make money, something's wrong with that person. Right? A person who doesn't have sexual desires, something's not right. Everyone has a desire, and everyone wants to be financially well off. That's a normal human experience. The Gemara says, nafsho, a person's nefesh desires that. There's a chemda for those things. But a person can't be enslaved to these things. Because then you can be doing well in these areas. You can have good relationships. And you can have good financial success. And you could still be looking for something else. God forbid. In both those departments, God forbid. V'nira demishom hachi amru. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Chazal tell us, Tov shabatabachim shutfo shel amalik. Really one of the most interesting statements I think that I've seen in Chazal about amalik. That the best of butchers, a tabach is a butcher, the greatest butchers are in partnership with a malik. What on earth does that mean? Kedushin pei beis. Mishnah at the end of Kedushin. What does that mean? That the best of butchers is a partner with a malik. So Rashi explains, you know why? Because a very successful butcher, you know why he's so successful? Because he lacks Yirat Shamayim. He lacks Yirat Shamayim. When he shechs his meat, right, and he has a shayla, he's not sure, is it kosher, is it trefa, it's not a, right? I'm going to lose a lot of money if this cow is not kosher. He's inspecting the lungs, he's checking it out. Maybe it's a trefa, maybe it's a not. Yeah, you know, for my customers, it's kosher enough. For my customers, it's good enough. Says Rashi, shesafik trefa zbos liyado, when a safik trefa comes his way, when he's not sure if the animal is actually kosher, Chas al mamono, he's concerned for what? For the financial loss. U'ma'achilon ad kan lashono. And either he eats it or he feeds it to others. Right? He finds a way to rationalize it. It's not definitely not kosher. I'm not sure. It's a suffix. We've pointed out many times that suffix is the same gematria as the word amalek. Right? That lack of moral clarity. Suffix means a doubt. This person, instead of saying, nope, you know what? It wasn't meant to be. I'm gonna swallow the loss and just deal with it. No, he comes up with a whole rationale. Like, well, maybe it's kosher enough. Maybe it's not so bad. Right? Hold on. You're doing well. You're doing fine. You want to be the best butcher in the world? You want to be the greatest shochet in town? Right? You want to make the most money? That you're playing games? Suffolk trefas, you can't let it go? That you're going to feed it to someone? Ratzalomar. Shetoev lamamon. Yes, this person, this butcher, this slaughterer, is so obsessed with money that, yeah, if he can rationalize it, again, he's not the worst guy in the world. So if it's not kosher, it's not kosher. But if it's borderline, for a couple of bucks, he's willing to, you know, he's willing to convince himself that it's kosher enough. Afal pi she'ein magil lo, even though really it doesn't belong to him. It's not right. Davei safek treifa, right? He should have said, I want to be cautious. I want to be Yerei Shamayim. I want to do the right thing. Hashem will pay me back a different way. No, he can't let it go. He just can't let it go. V'taivas mamon machshilto lahachil safek treifos. And his taiva for money and more money causes him to stumble, to feed people safek treifos. What a terrible thing. So that's the midah of a malik. This obsessive midah of wanting to have everything is very much the world of a malik. V'al Yosef shu sitno shel Esav. Chazal tells us in many places that Yosef is the opposite of Esav. So if Esav, which is again father of Amalek, if Haman, if that world is wanting to what? To take things that aren't ours. So now we understand why Yosef in many ways is the opposite of Amalek. Yosef is Gematria 156. Right? Which is not the same Gematria as Haman. Haman is 95. But Haman's called by another name in the Megillah, and that's Memuchan, which is Gematria 156. So Yosef in many ways actually is the opposite of Haman. How is Yosef the spiritual opposite of Haman? And Chazal say very clearly that Zara shall Amalek noflim biad bana shall Rachel. That it's Dafka, the children of Rachel, it's the Yosefs of the world, the Binyamins of the world, Binyamin who didn't bow down to Esav, right? It's Yosef who knew how to not take things that weren't his, that are able to defeat Amalek. Where do we see that Yosef is naki, that he's perfectly innocent, clean of Gezel and Arayos? Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ale Ayin, the bracha of Yosef from Yaakov. Ayin shelo ratzta lezon, v'leyanos midavar she'eino shelo. Yosef was given by Potiphar what? Access to his accounts. He put him in charge of all of his stuff. Yosef could have taken a couple of bucks off the top. Potiphar's a busy guy. Yosef's making a big profit as it is for Potiphar. He could have pocketed a little bit of the money, but he didn't. He didn't take something that wasn't his. And all the more so. How about Asha's Potiphar? He's being seduced by this beautiful woman in Mitzrayim to sin with her, and Yosef says, no, you're not mine, and I'm not going anywhere near you. Shayan ne'mon bebeiso shel Potiphar v'lo nichshol be'ishto. Harei she'ez gabra al yetzer shel gezel v'arayos. So Yosef, again, who Chazal tell us in many places is the opposite of Amalek, has this remarkable strength of what? Strength of character to not take things that aren't his. And that's the opposite of this midah ra of Haman, of Amalek, of the Nachash. And again, even amongst our own people, it comes in the form of Korach. V'nira sh'avodaso shol adam liskaber neged taivas gezel sharsho v'mashenigzar ala adam b'zeyas apecha tochal lechem. The root of this avoda that a person needs to work hard to overcome the desire to take things that aren't ours is rooted in the punishment of Gan Eden. By the sweat of your own brow, you will earn a living. The hainu lidaktik b'chashruso shamamono. Work hard. It's easier to find, you know, little ways to play the system. But it's much harder to work hard day in and day out at an honest job. But you know what? That's our response to what happened in Gan Eden. What was the punishment of Adam in Gan Eden? You tried to take a tree that wasn't yours. Your punishment is you're going to have to work hard. Working hard means being an honest businessman. Being willing to swallow that loss and not convincing yourself that what? That, well, it's kosher enough. It's good enough. This deal is acceptable enough. Right? And that's exactly why the Torah puts weights and measures right next to Amalek. Friends, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davens, when he's the one, if you think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's on trial against Korach, Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to somehow also be the opposite of this midah of Korach. So what does Moshe respond to Korach? He says in a very clear way, Lo chamor echad mehem nasasi. Moshe says, do you realize I never took a salary from Klal Yisrael? Did you ever think about that? For 40 years, I've been taking care of you. Right? Where's my retirement fund? Yeah, where's my salary? I'm a rabbi. Do I at least get parsonage or something? You know, like Moshe Rabbeinu says, I never took anything. I didn't take one animal. I didn't even take expenses for my car. I didn't even use the company car. That's what it means. Lo chamor echad mehem nasasi. I didn't even take a donkey. I didn't even ask, you know, can you at least provide me with transportation? Nothing. that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, I'm so medakdek b'mamon. I don't take a single thing that doesn't belong to me. And again, that's the very opposite of the midah of Korach. It's very, very interesting. You know where we first meet Korach in the Torah? Where do we first encounter Korach in the Torah? We actually first encounter Korach by the Alufei Esav. Sorry, what? The Alufei Esav? Yes, by the descendants of Esav. When the Torah lists the family members of Esav, you know what one of them's name is? His name is Korach. So the Chassam Sofer asks a very interesting question. Chassam Sofer says, I don't understand. Eich nikra Korach al shem echad me Alufei Esav. How could it be that Korach's name is a non-Jewish name? It's one of the descendants, one of the Alufei, one of the chieftains of Esav. That's not a name that any Jew should have. And we know a name says a lot about it, reveals a lot about the inner essence of a person. But says Rav David Cohen, that's exactly the point. Korach was called Korach because he's rooted, unfortunately, in the world of Esav. Hare asa maisa haman shumi b'nei Esav. He's acting in a way that Esav acts. And because of that, yes, unfortunately, he lived up to the name. He becomes worthy, in a negative sense, of the name Korach. Friends, how did we begin the piece? As we turn to the last page, we began by learning a Rashi in Korach. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu davened, I don't want to be like Korach. I don't want Korach's name to be associated with me. Korach, right? Korach ben Yitzhar, ben Kohas, ben Levi, don't say ben Yaakov. Everyone knows that Levi is the son of Yaakov. Don't say it. I don't want to be associated. Titein emes li Yaakov. Yaakov is too emistic to be associated with Korach. But friends, let's try to understand now one last step. Okay? When Yaakov Avinu is seeking the hand of Rachel in marriage, and Rachel, again, we said it's the children of Rachel Dafko who are going to be the ones to defeat Amalek. So that means Yaakov Avinu, his midah of MS is going to be tested. And we know that that's true, right? Chava, you know that that's true, right? In Beis Lavan, in the house of Lavan, Yaakov Avinu had to work really hard to be an honest businessman. But he did. And he did it in a remarkable way. V'nei HaKosev Omer, the Pasuk says, that Yaakov loved Rachel so much, V'yomer E'evodcha Sheva Shanem B'Rachel Bitcha Ketana. I'm prepared to work for 7 years on behalf of what? On behalf of your younger daughter. Now, I'm just going to skip ahead for the sake of time here. He works out the fact over here that Rachel was the one, that Yaakov Avinu was given the advice of his mother to go to Beis Lavan and to find the Shidduch there. And you're going to be there, V'yashavti mo yom achadim. You're going to be there for a short period of time. Now, the truth is, Chazal tell us that Yaakov loved Rachel so much that the time actually flew by. It felt like it flew by. But the truth is that he actually worked for a long time. He worked very hard. He was a hard-working person. His mother told him there's a way to work that it's going to feel like Yom Achadim, like a short period of time. If you stay focused on the task, and you're honest, and you do the job properly, then the job won't be burdensome to you. If you think you're going to find the shortcut to make the job easier, the job's actually going to become much heavier. It's going to be much more weighty, much more burdensome. So Yaakov Avinu, right, comes to Beis Lavan, and he starts working hard. And Chazal say, and it does go quickly for him. Because when you're honest, Hashem helps you out. Hashem helps you out. So it's not that Yaakov wasn't involved in Avodah Kasha. It wasn't that Yaakov, right, somehow, you know, beat the system. No, Yaakov was a hard-working person. A very hard-working person. Such a hard-working person that when Lavan eventually accuses him, you know, of playing games, when he snuck away in the middle of the night, Yaakov says back to him, are you joking? Hayisi bayom achalani v'gomer. The Pasuk says, Perek lamed aleph, Pasuk mem. Yaakov Avinu responds very strongly. He responds to Lavan. Listen to what he says to him. He says to him, Hayisi bayom achalani chorev v'kerach balayla. He says, don't you realize? You know what it was for me? The scorching heat by day, the frozen nights. I robbed my eyes of sleep to take care of your sheep. You're accusing me of being dishonest? What, are you crazy? You're totally out of your mind. So Yaakov Avinu, right? Yaakov Avinu was a very honest worker. So therefore, says Rav David Cohen, if we look at this as sort of the ultimate test of Yaakov's truth, of Yaakov's emes, Harei she Yaakov Avinu saval tsar gadol al yidei avoda kasha. Yaakovinu was prepared to bear the brunt of the hard work for a long time. It was difficult work. Elisha avaso l'rachel pa'ala, she'afal pichein hayu hayam kiyam achadim. But because of his love for Rachel, he was able to do the job honestly, and it went by very quickly. But friends, let's add the following. Why was Yaakov poor to begin with? Why was Yaakov not a rich man when he showed up at Beis Lavan? Why did he have to start off with his minimum wage job and work 20 years, Yomim Valayla, in the hot heat and in the freezing nights, right, to protect the flock, to protect the sheep of the wicked Lavan? How did that happen? You know how that happened? Who remembers? How did that happen? Because when he was on his way, when he was running away, right, from his brother Esav, and he left laden with Kesav Ezav, he took his portfolio with him, he had all of his money with him, Eliphaz, the son of Esav, chases after him. Eliphaz, who would be the father of Amalek, chases after him. And he says, I'm here to kill you, Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov says, okay, so kill me. I don't want to kill you. Why didn't Eliphaz want to kill Yaakov? Well, I want to kill you because my father, Esav, told me I should kill you. But I don't want to kill you because I grew up in Yitzchak's home and I know that killing is a bad thing to do. So Yaakov is a Talmud Chacham. He says, okay, well, one could say that a person who's poor is like a dead person. So take all my money. Take all my possessions. Do you know that according to one Medrash, he literally took the clothing off of his back? Yaakov Avinu was left naked. And he went into a river just to cover over his nakedness. And the Medrash says that a group of troops was passing by that area. And they got undressed to go for a little swim, to bathe themselves. And all of a sudden there was terrible troubles in the water. And the troops were swept downstream. And they were killed. And Yaakov Avinu was left with their clothes and was able to find an outfit for himself. Interesting medrash. I only heard that medrash about a year ago. But Yaakov Mamish, he had nothing. Everything was taken away from him. By who? By the father of Amalek. Taking away things that don't belong to him. Yaakov was left like an ani. And an ani is chashiv kemes. And now Yaakov has to come to Beis Lavan and work so hard for all those years. But you know what? Yaakov wasn't bitter. And Yaakov was emistic. And Yaakov was able to focus on what's important, namely the marriage to Rachel that he desires. V'nimsa sha'al yidei aviv shel Amalek. So the father of Amalek caused such terrible tsar to Yaakov Avinu, again by taking something that didn't belong to him. V'hinei me'osa avod li'alfinan halachos eich sarech lish hashomer lidaktik b'shmira. And what are their status? A lot of Torah emerged from that experience. V'zedoma mamash le'inyan midos u'mishkalos. This is exactly, again, what the Rashi was telling us. That if you're not honest in your business, you're going to get swallowed up by Amalek. But if you know what? If you do the right thing, if you are honest in your business, and if you do like Yaakov Avinu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you. So now we understand, on a certain level, if the father of Amalek took away all of Yaakov's money, and Yaakov still was able to be emistic, and not to be bitter, and to focus on the important things in life, and not to be jealous, and not to be envious. So what do you see? In a certain sense, Yaakov Avinu is the one who defeats Amalek. By not becoming embittered by that experience, that's the biggest victory you can have over Amalek. To be satisfied with what you have. And therefore, yes, he marries Rachel. And yes, Rachel's children are Yosef and Binyamin, who in many ways are the main oppressors of Amalek, the one who defeat Amalek. Right? The children of Rachel Imenu are the ones who have the ability to defeat Amalek. So friends, we come to the last two paragraphs. Now we understand why Yaakov Avinu davened. I cannot allow myself to be associated with Korach. Because if we see that Yaakov Avinu is this midah of being honest when it hurts, of not taking things that don't belong to him, even when Amalek takes away all of that which belongs to you, that Yaakov just stays focused, he does what's right, he's emistic. So now we understand, Yaakov says, I don't want to be associated with Korach. Korach is Amalek. I hate to say it like that. That sounds terrible. Korach was a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, right? But the Midah of Korach is the Midah of the Nachash, is the Midah of Haman, is the Midah of Amalek. It's such a Midah Ra. It's taking things that aren't yours. Yaakov Avinu says, I spent 20 years working for a thief, and I didn't once push back. I didn't once act in a dishonest way towards him, even though he deserved it a million times over. So Yaakov says, now I'm going to be connected to Korach. Korach's Mida and my Mida are worlds apart. And friends, I want to show you an amazing thing that I saw here in the Psukim that Rav David Cohen doesn't emphasize, but it jumped out at me when I was preparing this piece to share with you. You know what it says? Yaakov Avinu says, I can't be associated with Korach. After all, I work so hard. What did the Pasuk say? What did the Pasuk say about Yaakov Avinu? Hayisi bayom achalani chorev. By day, Yaakov says, I was willing to bear the scorching heat. And what's the next word? V'kerach balayla, the Pasuk says. Which means, well, what's kerach? Kerach is ice. The frozen nights. But isn't that so interesting? Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, right? I put up, I was willing to work hard through the kerach. Kerach is the letters of Korach. And it's a lashon of kar, asher karcha baderech, that's Amalek. So Yaakov Avinu says, despite the fact that I understood that I was in a type of situation, I rose above it. I mamish rose above the situation. And Yaakov Avinu furthermore, you know what he says to Lavan? He says, I was so honest in our business dealings, trefa lo hevesi elecha. I never brought you what? A maimed animal. Think back to the Gemara that we learned. What do we say about the best of butchers? The best of butchers is what? Is a partner with a Amalek. You know why? Because he allows a suffix trefa to go through. Yaakov Avinu says, Mamash refurish and l'chumash. Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, trefa lo hevesi elecha. I never brought you a trefa. I could have given you an animal that I knew from my expertise as a shepherd. It was a little bit sick, but I didn't. I gave you the best of the best. I didn't take a penny from you. Not a single thing. Trefalo evesi alecha. Anochi achatena miyadi tevakshana. If I did anything wrong, so tell me and I'll prove it to me. And I'm happy to repay you. The only thing that I stole, genuvti yom, genuvti laila. I robbed my eyes from sleep. That's the only thing I stole in working hard for you. So Yaakov Avinu says, I don't want to be associated with Korach. I'm not at that world of Korach. I'm not Amalek, I'm not Korach, I'm not Haman, I'm not the Nachash, I'm not the Sar HaOfim, who's jealous of his butler friend in jail. I'm not any of those people who has this Mida Rav, jealousy, of wanting something that's not ours. And lastly, he says, Rav David Cohen, Shlita, Nishav Rafu Shlema, Yesh Lahargish, Sheyoav Kilkel B'mash Shahare Kol Amalekim, Mepnei, Sherabu lo dikdeg heitev lahoris zecher b'makom zachar. What's that talking about? There's a Gemara in Bava Basra Chaf Aleph. It says that Yoav comes back from the battlefield, and they're trying to assess, knew how to go. I killed the male enemies. You killed the male enemies? Why didn't you kill everyone? Amalek, wipe them out. Because my Rebbe taught me that what? My Rebbe taught me that we're supposed to kill the Zachar. Zachar, right? Zachar is Asher Asal Chal Amalek. You're supposed to kill the Zachar. Zachar means male. So he says, no, it's not Zachar, it's Zecher. Right? Zecher means any memory, any remembrance of Amalek. It's a funny Gemara. Yoav comes to David HaMelech, and they're trying to figure out what happened on the battlefield. Oh, my Rebbe taught me Zachar. No, that's wrong. That's not how you pronounce the word. That's not the intention of the word. You don't really kill the males. You have to wipe them out completely. What's the point? Says Rav David Cohen, V'yesh limtzo remez b'masha amru, she'echad mechamishas psukim, she'ein lehem achreya hu akra, tzehi lachem ba'amalek machar. One of the five psukim that the Gemara says, we don't know exactly how to read it, is this pasuk, tzehi lachem ba'amalek machar. Go and fight Amalek tomorrow. This word machar could be read as the end of this phrase, Tzehi lachem ba'amalek, machar, go fight Amalek tomorrow. Or, if you read on the pasuk, machar could actually be the beginning of the next phrase. Machar, dot, dot, dot. So there are certain words where it's like the middle word, we're not sure, does it go this way or does it go that way? You know what that means? A word that's in the middle that we're not sure almost which side of the scale it ends up on? You know what it means that Yoav says, My teacher was imprecise, he didn't pronounce the word exactly right, and it led to a tremendous kilkel on the battlefield. Because my Rebbe said Zachar, my Rebbe said Zachar, when really it's Zechar. Right? All of this caused a terrible loss for Klal Yisrael. That failure to be precise. Sha'amalek inu zahir la'achriya ha'mishkalos kedabai. You know why when you're dealing with a Malik, things are imprecise? The words are imprecise. We're not even sure how to read the... What do we do with the Shabbos? This Shabbos, Parsha Zachar, when you go to Shul, when you hear Kriyas HaTorah, They're going to read the pasuk twice because we're not sure exactly zecher, zecher. We're not sure exactly that world of sveikos, that world that lacks clarity, right? That moral clarity and that honesty, right? That world where the scales are constantly changing is what the Torah warns us. That's the world of Amalek. V'chein Adam HaRishon, Adam HaRishon also wasn't careful. Lo dikdek b'divrei Hashem yisbarach. He told his wife, don't even touch the tree. When Hashem didn't say that, Hashem said, don't eat from the tree. So friends, when you're imprecise, right, when the scales are not perfectly aligned, so you're entering again into that space, into that worldview of Amalek. But the Avodah is, again, on Purim, even more than Yom Kippur, lo sachmod, lo sis aveh, no kinah, no jealousy. Jews have to love each other on Purim, to feel connected to each other on Purim. Not to, God forbid, be petty. Not to be a person who doesn't have a kar satov. What comes right after Amalek? What parsha is right after Amalek? Bikurim. You know what Bikurim is? Beginning of Parshas Kisavo. Bring your first fruits to Hashem. But I work so hard to grow these fruits. It's all from Hashem. Give the first fruits to Hashem. It's not you. Realize that anything you have is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stop being so greedy. Stop being so self-centered. Right? Don't be like the Nachash in Gan Eden. Don't be like Korach, who's so rich. He's the example of a rich Jew. And yet he wants more. Don't be like Haman, who has 99.9% of the world, you know, sort of worshipping him, literally. But Mordechai won't bow down, so now he's all upset. Hamin ha'etz, Haman min ha'torah minayim. It's all that same, and it's such an important, again, it's such an important midah that you have to work on over the course of a lifetime. Because you will have friends who make more money than you. And you will have a friend who has an easier time getting married than you. And you will have someone who has, whatever, you know. God forbid. You should all have wonderful things. And bless you all, you should have wonderful things. But the reality is, the guy next door might have a bigger house, or he might have a prettier wife, or his kids might give him less trouble, or his boss might give him less trouble. Whatever it is, there's a lot of things in the world that we could spend our whole life desiring. And it's the Aseret HaDibros. It's the closing remark of the Aseret HaDibros. Hashem says, I know you're going to desire your friend's house, and I know you're going to desire your friend's wife, and I know you're going to desire your friend's possessions, but don't. Be a Jew. Be a Yaakov Avinu Jew. Be an Ish Emes. Be bigger than that. Okay? So Rabosai, this is part of the defeat against the Amalek. We should be zocheh to remove the Amalek from within our hearts and within our minds.